Such a privilege to be here. I am so blessed already. Actually, I'm sitting here and thinking, how did I get up here? This is a gift from the Lord. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you. So I want to start with sharing a little bit about my husband and myself. We are both Messianic Jews. We were born in Israel, both of us. And in Israel, we call those that are born in Israel Sabras. It's like the fruit that has torn outside, but very fragile and soft inside. I think this is who we are. And so both of us are Messianic Jews, and both of us are second-generation Holocaust survivors. His father came from Poland, and they lost about 50 people in the Holocaust in Sobibor, in the camp Sobibor. And eventually his father and his brother managed to come to Israel, but they lost houses, they lost oil factory, went to Israel with empty hands and started right from the beginning. And my parents came from Libya, Africa, from Tripoli, and they suffered also in the Holocaust. And they managed to run away to Israel. And of course, they also left houses and a shoes factory and started from scratch. When they left Israel, one sister of my grandmother, she fell in love with an Italian soldier in Tripoli, and she stayed over there. For years after that, the contact was lost, and my grandmother couldn't see her. She was sleeping with her passport under the pillow in case they will find her or there will be some sort of contact, and then she will meet her sister again. It never happened. But my mom kept begging me, you have to find them, you have to find them. And eventually, I found two phone numbers, and we started to call, and we found our part of the family in Italy. So that was in the last few years. And this is a picture. What I'm sharing here is a pictures of the Jews. They're all spread out. Like my family was executed in Portugal, and then they ran away, and then they ended up in Tripoli. So this is our story. Many Jews in Israel are also now second generation, because the first generation, all of them almost died. So October 7 will be remembered as the worst days in the history of our land. As a child, when I was born, I experienced already 7 wars in Israel. But this one is not the same. And this one just doesn't end. Usually the wars are starting, it takes a few days or some month, and that's it. But it doesn't end. And our hostages are still in the tunnels. Our hostages, if we will not get them out, we will receive all of them dead. And already so many died. Many of us in Israel are wearing this necklace that says that our heart is captivated with the captives in Gaza. This is us. This is Israel. This is the people of Israel. We feel like flesh from our flesh is in Gaza. We are crying for them. There are demonstrations, huge demonstration. Bring them back home. Bring them back home. But the government has so many problems right now. There's so many demonstrations all over Israel. There's inner conflict. What a mess. And then the fight just after the ceasefire is started again. And yesterday, even in the red carpet, they had sirens going on. And while I was speaking in Switzerland before I came here, I woke up from sirens because it's in my phone. So it's there. and making sure the family is okay, making sure everybody is in a shelter. And so life is just really in a turmoil. It's not the same. And I'm saying this because in this, for such a time as this, you are the Mordechai and Esther. You are the one to help us, to help us, to pray for us, and for us to see breakthroughs, and for us to see the victory of the Jews. And there is so much anti-Semitism growing up right now, but it's you to raise the flag of Israel. It's you to pray for us and hold us. We are in the war. We are fighting. We are busy with the war. But you're outside. You have greater way to see things, even in a better perspective way, to intercede for us and to pray for us. So I want to thank you already for that, that you are really holding us, and it's a privilege to talk to you today. Thank you for that. So, thank you. So Abundant Life Ministry was established in 2004. Both of us, my husband and I, were pro-lifers. We were reaching women in crisis pregnancy and seeing babies being saved from abortion. Before that, before I started the ministry, the pro-life ministry, the Lord had to heal me first from the abortion I had. When I was in the military service at the age of 19, I got pregnant, and my father just died, and a few weeks later, I got pregnant. And I didn't want the baby. I didn't want the baby. I thought the baby will destroy my life. After I had the abortion, I realized that the abortion destroyed my life, not the baby. And I was suffering. I was suffering from depression. When I was pregnant, I used to touch my stomach, and I just loved the feeling. I loved it. I loved being pregnant, but I didn't allow myself to feel it. Immediately, I said, no way. I'm not going to keep this baby. And whoever tried to talk to me at that time, I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't listen. And but at the end, when I did the abortion, I was a broken woman. I was broken to pieces. And you know, it's not easy to come and share about the abortion I had. It's not that I'm, you know. But today in our congregation and churches, there are so many broken women from the abortion they've had. It's a secret. It's something they're holding inside, and they don't have anyone to share about it. And I share it because I believe that it should be in the light. Yeah. That God, the Holy Spirit, can come and touch us. Because I feel that when we are blocked with our pain and it's a secret, we're not free to be free for our callings and to serve Him and to let Him take us wherever He wants, and we can serve others and touch others, and others will be healed. So God wants to free us, women. He wants to deliver us from our pain, from our past, from our brokenness. He wants to touch us because this is who He is, a redeemer, a restorer. He is a God of love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this, because I feel free. I feel free to serve, and He did it. Nothing about me. Listen, nothing about me. I know who I am. So the first thing that we did was taking pregnant women into our home, and we did it for 7 years after we started the ministry. 7 years, and one time we even had 3 generations in our home, the baby, the mother, and the grandmother. So that was an amazing experience, and our children were little, and we all embraced them. They would eat with us, we shared with them, And the idea was to train them in such a way that they will be victorious, that they will be single mothers, yes, but strong ones, fighters, not victims, not victims, not victims. And so this is really the mindset of this ministry, to raise the women and to help them to come out of this victim mentality. So while we were doing this in our home, we as a team, we started to have a burden for women that were trafficked and were sold to prostitution. And we were praying. We prayed for a whole year about this issue. And it was going big in Israel. We were so shocked to hear what was going in our land, but nobody talked about it. That was 21 years ago, and nobody even speak about this, not the media, not people around us. And we found it through a book that we read that is called The Natasha by Victor Malarek, a Canadian reporter. And he wrote about Tel Aviv, and we read it, and we were just thinking, Tel Aviv, how can it be that in our land women were trafficked from other countries and were sold for prostitution in the land of Israel? I couldn't believe it, but I didn't know where on earth will I ever be able to meet one of them, because the mafia was in control. It was scary at that time. They were trafficked from the border of Egypt, and they were raped on the way by the Bedouins, and they put them in the baggage of the cars, and then they brought them into Israel, brought them to the traffickers in Israel, and then they were sold to the pimps. And from there on, their passport was taken away. They did not have any identity, and they were many of them became drug addicts, and many of them just died and couldn't continue their life. But those that kept going were used over and over and over. So I didn't know how will I meet them. And one day, I get a phone call from a social worker in the area of the old bus station. And she said to me, listen, I don't know how to deal with the pregnant prostitutes. I need help. Can you help me? And when I got this phone call, I knew that God opens the door for me. This is the door that I have to go through. I am so thankful for this door. I am so blessed by this door. And I said, yes, I would love to help you. And so one day, one of them gave birth. And she said, Anat, can you come? I took train immediately, and I came to the hospital. But what happened was that she ran away from the hospital back to the brothel in the old bus station. And I came, and I said to the social worker, let's go and meet her over there. I want to get to know her. So we went to the area of the old bus station. And listen, I wasn't there for so many years, and I didn't know what happened there. And when I got there, I was so shocked. Dozens of women in the streets were shooting drugs in daylight. I just looked at this and I thought, end time. What is going on here? And refugees all over, and pimps and drug dealers, and the feeling was so like scary. I was so shocked. This is, you know, we have a street in that area called Neve Sha'anan. It's the shoes street. This is where I got the shoes for my wedding. I couldn't believe what happened to this area. I was so shocked. And she showed me half an hour, like, that was my university of the old bus station. Okay, don't go here. Don't do this. Be careful there. When you see this, cross the road. And that's it. And that was my education. And then I jumped into the ocean. We went into into the brothel. I've never been in a brothel. I mean, this is it. Nobody else told me what to do since then. Thank you, Lord. And so we went into the brothel and I met her. And she was a victim of sex trafficking from Uzbekistan. And she was sold, and she was locked in an apartment in Elat, down south Elat, by the traffickers, and she managed to run away. Now, her passport was taken. Where will she go? And she ended up in the old bus station where so many of them were working in prostitution over there. So I told her, listen, we'll take you to the hospital to connect with your baby, and we bring you back here. She was drug addict. Of course she will run away from the hospital. She needed drugs. And so she said, okay. And then me and another woman, every week we came, we pulled her out from her room, and we took her to the hospital to connect with the baby. And as a pro-lifer, I knew something within me that the connection between a mother and the baby is the most powerful force. I can't explain. We are cheetahs. We will do anything and everything to protect our children. And I believe that this will break the vicious cycle of addiction, prostitution, and being homeless in the area of the old bus station. Now, this did not happen to her, but it happened to others. The baby was the reason to change. And so this is a flag of life. Life, keep life, protect life. So the thing was that when I came to that area, that day I knew that as long as my feet hold me and God didn't pull me away, I will serve in the old bus station. Pregnant women, not pregnant women, I will do anything and everything I can to help. So what happened is that we started outreach, me and another two housewives. We were so simple, so green. We didn't know hardly anything, but we were there, you know, like we were walking, and whatever God brought on that day, whether a hungry woman to buy her food, or one to buy her clothes, or one to take her to rehabilitation center, whatever the Lord did on that day, we did it. And so it was an amazing 6 years of outreach. And then one day we saw one of the women. She was on the floor. She was so dirty. It looks like for weeks she didn't take shower. And she had this infection in her toes. And she was in pain and couldn't talk. She couldn't talk to us. And the only thing that we could do is just go down, lay hands, and pray for her. Pray for her. Whenever we stopped, she said, no, more. And that was the only, she couldn't speak. She was rubbing her toes because she had this huge infection in her toes. They were so red and swollen. And when we left her, we had such a heavy heart. It was so difficult to leave her, and I felt, no, we are not doing enough. No, it's nothing what we are doing. And then from this pain and from this moment, a vision was ignited to have a place that will provide hygienic treatment for them, that will provide manicure, pedicure, that they don't have to end up like this with this infection and horrible you know, hygienic problems. And so where will I have a place? So I was thinking, I'll put a table in the street, I'll bring a bucket, and I don't care, because when the Lord speaks to me, I don't see a meter. This is a slang in Israel. We don't see a meter. We just jump, we go forward, and we do it. Okay? So I was ready. I didn't care. But a month later, God provided a place for me. God provided a place for me for free to use for one day, and a woman that will serve in manicure pedicure. Wow, we were cooking, baking, and going there, and the woman was serving. Now, I want to tell you, they knew us from the street, but we were sitting there women started to come from the street into the red carpet. Transsexuals, homosexuals, everybody came. And I was sitting there looking at all of this and I said, God, you are doing this. This is you are doing. And I will serve anybody and everybody that will come here. All are welcome, all are loved, and we started doing manicure and pedicure for transsexuals, and we were listening to their stories, and they wanted to talk to us, and to eat with us, and to drink with us, and I was so amazed, I mean, God, you are so amazing. And so I just want to share that the name, the red carpet, we were praying before we started this whole thing. We were praying and God showed us a vision, a picture that the women will walk on a red carpet to meet the King of Kings and to sit at his table. And so every time they come in, they walk on a red carpet. Lord. So this is so incredible how God did it. Nothing of us. Listen, nothing of us. And so since then, the place grew with many other stations cutting their hair. Kyra will share about the stations. Where is she? And she will share with you about the station and show you picture. But I want to share about one station that God started to speak to me there. And this is the clothing station. And I just didn't know why he's showing me something special about his love. Why this station? Because my station is hair. I cut hair. I do homeless hair. I love it. But he's talking to me about the clothing station. And so, so this station, I tell you, the hangers are filled every day we go there, filled, and they get empty, and they get filled and empty, all the time, filled and empty. And sometimes there is two pieces, and you think, oh, God, we need more. And then there is a knock on the door, and then a load of clothes is coming. I'm telling you, God providing clothes for the women. This is so amazing. He cares for them so much. He provides clothes for them. And I'm thinking and I'm saying, God, this is so amazing. And one day, we saw one of the women coming into the red carpet. And she was naked. And this is not unusual for us to see this sight. She had a t-shirt and she was naked. And so I looked at this and always it's a shock. Don't think we are used to it. Every time it happens, it's like, oh, we have to act quickly. And I was telling the team, I said, we are not serving her with anything. First, we have to dress her. We have to dress her before we serve her with all the other stations. And so the thing is that she's so tiny. She's just like this. She's so petite. Now, sometimes we get clothes this size. And so I'm thinking, how are we going to find clothes for her? So I'm telling Laura, you go to the storage place and find something for her. And Laura is our stylist. She knows all the women. She knows exactly what they love. She knows exactly what they fit with them. And so she goes to the storage and she comes out with this gorgeous pink dress. Tiny. And so I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'm waiting for her to get dressed. And it was perfect. It was so perfect. I couldn't believe it. I said, God, only you could keep this pink dress for her. How on earth we can find something like this? So amazing. She was so beautiful. I hugged her and I said, I didn't know. It's like I'm my mother, you know. Respect yourself. Respect your body. Don't go naked. you know, go, don't go naked. I just didn't have words, but this is, but when she looked at me, something pierced in. I felt like something pierced in. And so, you know, I said to the Lord, why in this station? I see, we all know that God loves us, but in this station, I feel like God loves us. You know, it's so much bigger. There's something bigger than that. And I needed to figure that out. And then he reminded me of the verse in Genesis that says that the Lord dressed Adam and Eve with garments of skin. He dressed them. Now, listen, it was after they got their punishment. You know, he could tell them, now, you two, I don't want anything with you anymore. That's it. This is the end. But instead, he dressed them with garment of skin. He covers them. He covers their shame. Now, I tell you, in order to have garment of skins, blood need to be shed. An animal was killed. A sacrifice, a hint for what to come in the future, for the one that will die for all of us and cover our skin and cover our shame. And he was telling them, I love you. I cover your shame. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is what he's telling them as he does this. You're mine. Nobody will take you from me. Not even your sins and your mistakes. And now I'm telling you, we're all suffering from this sin. Death entered into our life because of this sin. And we are all reaping that consequences of sin. So let's say it's not something so simple. But he covered their shame and sin and everything, forgave them. So much love. So much love. And so I was thinking about her, and I was thinking, and I said to myself, this is what we are doing. We are covering their shame. We are telling them that they were born in the image of God, and they're precious, they're wonderfully made, that they have value, that they are respected, they're not transparent, like they feel in the street. They're not transparent. We see them. God see them. And this is what we want to do, to hug them and to love them. You know, in Isaiah 58, it says that, what is the good fast? What is the good fast? And we think, you know, fast, you know, like, still in the Jewish background, fast is like torture, suffering, you know, like the Day of Atonement fast. It's a kind of a difficult thing. But no, the fast that the Lord desires is to feed the hungry, is to dress the naked, is to give a roof to the homeless. And all these women are homeless. They are hungry. They are, and many of them are naked. They need clothes all the time because they don't have washing machines, okay? So the clothes they have need to be thrown to the garbage. So the red carpet is a place of love. And many times I tell the team, you are the word of God that they will never read. You are the congregation and churches that they will never come to. It's you. You are the hand and the feet of Jesus himself. Thank you very much. Now Kyra will continue from where I'm at.
First of all, thank you for having us. In case I missed the opportunity to say it, how honored we both are to be here and to stand here and share with all of you guys. So thank you. So the red carpet, I joined the red carpet about 7 years ago. I just came in one day and I asked, can I volunteer? And Anat said yes, just come on over. And two things stood out to me when I got there. The first thing was the state of the women. I had worked with women in prostitution, trafficking, different areas along the journey. So I thought, you know, hey, like, no problem. I've done this before. Let's go. And I got there. And one thing that really struck me was just the state that these women were in. And you guys will see some pictures. And I was flipping through some pictures trying to get some going for here. And it reminded me of just I don't think I was ready for that. Even with the experience, even with the knowledge I had, it just, these women, one, were physically just in horrible shape. They had abscesses. They were missing hair, missing teeth, missing fingers. They were leaking from every corner of their body. The smell was awful. There was that going on, but also spiritually as well, and just mentally, the state that these women were in, and that they were working. These are working women. They would walk in from the car. They'd walk over from the brothel. But they were in these states. So that kind of just, first of all, took me back. And then the next thing that really I got so overwhelmed by was the ministry, the love, the women that were serving. They were on their hands and feet washing these women's feet. They were bandaging them. They were clothing them. They were laughing with them. I think it was someone's birthday. They were singing happy birthday. And I was just so overwhelmed with just the love. And then that love for me was God's presence. I walked in there and I felt so much of God's presence. And, you know, in line with this conference, I was captivated by the place and also by God's love, just seeing God's presence alive today. Because I think that's something that we all pray a lot is, God, show me how you're working. Show me your presence. Let me see you. Let me feel you. And I walked in there and instantly that's what I felt and that's what I saw. So I was captivated by God and the place. So I've had the honor to be in there for about 7 years. Serving and working there. And so what we really do at the red carpet is just love on women. We just open our doors and we love on women, and it's such a special place to do that. The women that come in are from all backgrounds, all ages, all walks of life. In Israel, we're a melting pot, so we have Judaism, we have Islam, we have Christianity, we have atheists. All of those ladies come in to us. And I would say about the average age of a woman that we see is about 40. A lot of women that are on the street, like Anat said, they're in prostitution, they're homeless, they're on drugs. When they get to that level, that means usually they're at the bottom. So if you've worked in this realm a little bit, you know there's call girls, there's brothels, there's dancers, there's everything. But in Israel, where we work specifically, it's after all that, they get to the street. And the street is last stop. The street means death or rehab. It's one or the other. There really isn't much to do after that. There isn't anywhere lower to go as far as that chain. So with the women we serve are about the age of 40. They've gone through quite a bit. I would say about 99% are addicted to heavy drugs, actively addicted to heavy drugs, mental health, homeless, and working in prostitution. And when I say average age, I mean that there are women in their 60s and 70s still working. But really just have the honor of opening our doors to all these women and just loving them through different stations. And, you know, I'll walk through the stations and they're really practical, they're really small, but each station is a place of encounter. And something Darlene said yesterday, which is really true, it's not just an encounter for the women that we serve, it's an encounter for us as a team. It's a place where we are ministered to, but a place that we get to minister to others as well. So that's something really special and that I love about the red carpet. It's, like I said, it's a place that I've never seen before and never been to before, but now that I'm there, it's so hard to do anything else because it's so special and it's such a gift to be able to be there. So one of the first stations is hair, and this is our popular station, naturally. We women, we love our hair. We love fixing our hair. I'm sure everybody before you got up and came here, you did your hair, and if your hair is a mess, you probably won't leave your home. So women living on the street in this area, they naturally don't have the resources or the time or even the awareness of what's happening with the hair. But when they get to come in, we do their hair, we wash, we comb. If you've worked in this field, you know that also there's a lot of dreads. And the dreads are usually attached to the head. It's not just one piece of dread. So a lot of what we do is, you know, Anat said, combing the homeless hair. That means if we can, we try to take out dreads and preserve as much hair as we can, because as women, you know, our hair is really a big part of us. And when the women come in, you know, we have to go through this long process, and it's a very sensitive process of talking to them about their hair and maybe taking that off and maybe working through that. And so when we finally do, we really do try to cut and in a way that we can preserve as much hair, because again, it's something about being a woman. And a big part of the red carpet, especially that we do, is when the women come in, a part of it is also helping them come back to who they are. They'll walk in and they'll chit chat and they'll be talking and, you know, I'm a prostitute. And we say, no, you're a woman working in prostitution. Prostitution is not your identity. So through these places, and I'll go through all the other ones, but all of them are also a place where we can help them connect to back of who they are as women. So we have the hair and we cut and we try to preserve, and sometimes it's sensitive. Sometimes they'll get up in the middle and leave because it's too much to get rid of. Even if it's a chunk of a dread, it's still their hair. It's still part of who they are. So it's a process, but God has given a lot of grace. He's given Anat a lot of wisdom on how to cut. Anat is not naturally a hairdresser. She learned for this role. When she started the red carpet, she learned, she prayed. We occasionally do have some professional volunteers that will come and cut and color, but God has given Anat a lot of wisdom on hair and how to cut. And so, like I said, it's our most popular station, I would say, besides the clothes. There's always high demand for that one. So that's our hair station. The next station is the nails, and I apologize for the slideshow. It's not my best thing, so the lettering. But so the next one is the nails. The nails is a very special place. So when you do nails, usually you're sitting across someone. And how many of you guys love, you know, some don't, but some do, but enjoy talking to your nail technicianist when you're getting there. You maybe have a relationship going because you've seen her a couple of times. So this station is a place like that. We have the women's, usually depending what state they're in, but if we can, we have anywhere between 5 to 20 minutes. And sometimes 2 hours. Depends what's going on, what's happening. But it's a station where you have attention, you're one-on-one, you're touching. Touch is a very special thing at the red carpet. Most of these women, you know, when they're out on the street, the touch they're getting is generally abusive, and it's from their pimp, it's from their client, and it's also from just people on the street and between themselves. It's very violent. So touch, the only touch they're getting generally is going to be abusive and violent. When they come in here, they get touch that is soft, that is honoring, that is respectful, that is giving. So in this station, you have touch, you have eye contact, and you have their attention. And so you can take it anywhere. We tell our volunteers, roll with it, you know, and do what you need to do, or roll with, you know, whoever's in front of you. Sometimes they don't want to talk. They just want to put their hands down, tell you what color they want their nails, and you can just silently just be praying and interceding. Or they can talk, and there's a lot of times where actually a lot of women are saved on this place. A lot of them come to meet God in this place because you have that time, and we have an amazing nail technician at the moment who just the other day was sitting talking with a woman, and again, just through this time, she shared her story, and she shared about the Lord, and this woman was very receptive, and she was so blown away by what, because she was telling her all the amazing thing God has done for this woman, and how much God loves her, and this woman was just like, really? He did all that for me? And she was like, yes, and that woman fell asleep, and we just trust that the Lord met her in that sleep. But it's such a special station. So we have that. We have the feet. And also the women, what's special about the station is a lot of times the women come in and they're very ashamed as well of the state of their feet and their hands. Because like I said, when they come here, they're being met with their humanity again. They're getting detached from this false identity of a prostitute. And they're coming back to who they are and who God made them to be. So they're realizing that and they get ashamed and they'll hide. And then how special is it we get to say, we love you, but even more, God loves you in this state. So that's that station. I'm stuck. Let's see if I can. Oh, well, I'll just go off and I'll just tell you guys without some pictures. So after the hair, we have our beds and our rest and our showers so women can come in, they can sleep. We're open twice a week, around 11 to 3, so the women can come in, they can shower, they can sleep. For that time, they can get massages during that time. So it's just really a place of rest. And even on these stations, when the women are sleeping, when we have extra volunteers, we have them just, hey, sit by their beds and just pray a blessing over them. Pray that they would encounter God. So those are some places that we have. We have our clothing, and Anat shared about the clothing. It is a wild station because everybody wants clothes. But we have women coming in, like Anat said, with very few clothing. Women will come in between clients to change their clothes because maybe they didn't have a chance to grab their clothes. They will come in and say, I'm going to rehab. Can I grab some clothes? Make a bag. And we have a very special volunteer who is a stylist. And that's so special because she'll remember exactly what color they like, what size they like. She'll put clothes aside for them. And when they come in, she'll be able to love on them and say, I saved this for you. I remembered you like this. So that's really special. We have our bandaging station. Occasionally we have nurses that will volunteer with us. But if not, we have our basic first aid knowledge, which is put a Band-Aid on it if you can, and if not, send them to the hospital. So we have our bandaging station, which is very special, but that's also a place, again, these women, like, when they come and they sit on the street, I don't know, I can't say for sure, but they don't always, I don't know how aware they are of what they look like, and when they come in and they sit down, then they get, again, they're like, I'm so sorry that you have to do this, and we're like, no, it's our honor, you know, God did this for us, we can do it for you, and God will do this for you. So we have our bandaging station, we have ministry, we have people that come minister through music, they'll come play the piano. They'll play the guitar, they'll sing. We had a lady that would come and just read the Bible. We had, and then we can also, like I said, blessings and prayers. Okay, we're back. I'll just show you guys the pictures because it's cool. But that's the clothing, the beds, the bandaging. The ministry, like I said. And then a few things happened around COVID that were very special and opened up a new avenue for us. So during COVID, like you all know, everything shut down. And because, you know, we're a center and the women come to us, that's all we did. And our space is small and all the restrictions, we had to shut down. So the first week, I think, of COVID, we completely shut down. Everyone's trying to figure out what was going on. And then after that, we were like, no, but we can't sit here. We can't just sit here. I understand we can't open up, but we can't sit here. So we started making bags and driving around. And as we started driving around the neighborhood, we started realizing there's a whole group of women that we're not reaching, which is the women in the brothels. So like I said, we serve mainly inside the center, women on the street. And it's changed over the years, but that was how we were known, is we serve those women. And the women in the brothels were not on that level. Like, in their mind, they were like, no, we're not. We don't need that kind of help. That's not us. We still have status. I think that was kind of how it was interpreted. So during COVID, we started going around looking for the women we knew, but we, of course, saw the women in the brothels, and we stopped in and started going there. And one woman at the brothel said, yes, I will take a bag from you guys. And that's how it started. So we got a connection with her, and then every time we went out, we started going and stopping in the brothels, and we'd knock on the doors. Most of the times, they did say no, because, again, they just knew us as this organization that helps this other group. But slowly, slowly, during COVID, while we couldn't have our place inside, we just started going out. And also, it was a great excuse to get out of your home, because it got hard in COVID. It was really hard to just sit inside, so it was a great excuse to get out. But we started doing outreach. And then, of course, once COVID was done and we could get back inside, we were like, wait, but we built this relationship with a whole group of people that don't come to us. Let's keep it up. So we started with what we called our night outreaches, and we chose to go at night because a lot of the brothels also, they're there during the day, but most, it's a lot more active at night. We could reach more women. So we started going out at night, and we just packed a couple bags on us and some food. We had a nurse that grabbed a bag, and we just walked around the neighborhoods, and we walked in all situations. You know, there's the war right now, but the war before, we were out there during the war. And we were there, and the women, what was beautiful is they called us into their shelter, into their brothels, and they're like, take hiding with us in here, which was a very strange situation. But they were worried for us, and they were like, you should go home. Why are you here? Why are you coming out here? And that really gave us the opportunity to be like, because we love you, we think you're important. We're not overlooking you, you know? And that was a place to start the ministry with the women in the brothels. So one by one, a lot of times we'd knock on the doors, and even before we knocked, we'd just pray, God, open up the door, because a lot just wouldn't or turn us away and said we didn't know. But every time we started doing that, one more door each week would open, and one more group. And in each brothel, there's about 7 or 8 women at least. So we got to a whole new group, and it was absolutely amazing. And then one personal story for me that really impacted me, and like I said, because, you know, we get ministered too when we're out there ministering. We get ministered because we get to see God work. One of the women in the brothel, we were talking to her for a while, and I had over time developed a really special relationship with her. And she was telling me one day how one of her clients a couple months ago beat her up really bad to the point where she almost didn't make it. And, you know, she's still there working. And we were talking, and while we were talking, usually when we were talking with the women inside the brothel, they'll shoo the men away and say, come back later. But it was one of her regular clients, and she had to see him, so she was wrapping me up because I'm I'm there talking with her. And so I was like, well, let me just pray, because she had just told me the story. And I was like, and she's just going in now with a client again. And I was so caught in that moment. And I said, I can't just let her go. So I said, can I just please pray for you? And it was the most bizarre scenario. And I walked out and I was like, only God, and this could happen. But before she went in with her client, I had a chance to pray for safety over her. And it was, again, it's not a usual scenario that you'd be in, but it's so special that even in that most darkest, evil place, there's a moment to cry out to God, to encounter her and keep her safe and show her his love. So that was our outreach. At the moment, our outreach is on hold because of the war. It's a whole new reality that we're still working with. During the war, again, we couldn't open at the beginning of the war. Usually, like Anat said, it's a couple weeks, maybe a month. We can shut down. We can go to do some street outreach. We can navigate. But we don't have a bomb shelter. And so the law said that if we don't have a bomb shelter, we can't open. So, and the reality is, even if we did have a bomb shelter, I don't think they would really go. So we decided we couldn't take that responsibility. So what we did do is we opened up a table outside. So we put a table in front of our door. And again, we makeshift, we made things work, but we put a table outside. We put a rack of clothes outside and food, and we were able to serve the women. And now we're back to being inside again, which the girls love, but we haven't been able to do our outreach. I don't know how much time I have, but I do want to close with one thing. We have a verse inside our center. And it's something we also speak with the women a lot. And it's God's love for them. And it's that he loves them with an everlasting love. And he is always drawing them in with unfailing kindness. And I think those are words that they need to hear constantly. So we have that up in big in our center. We pray it over them. We speak it over them. But also for us. And like I said, it's a two-way. It really is a two-way ministry, because I know that we get filled because we get to encounter God's love for these women. So if you're ever in Israel, if you ever want to stop by, if you ever want to see, please do. It's such a special place, and there's really room for everybody. And who knows, maybe when you come and you speak to one woman, or when you hug one woman, that's a moment where she gets to encounter God in a new way, because each of us brings something special. So thank you again for having us.